It's Tuesday, February 7th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hello, everyone. Got a great show for you tonight. Strap in. Should be awful fast. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm your host, and thanks for checking out the show. For all of you that are long-term subscribers, hey, thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family, and staying subscribed. If you're checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out the content over there. Check out all the archive podcasts via the podcast link, and make sure you sign up for our newsletter so that you get the show notes to our programs delivered directly into your inbox first thing in the morning. Hey, everyone. I hope everyone had a good day back to work. I know that I had an atypical Monday, and it's going to be right back hot and heavy tomorrow in the office. Matter of fact, I told my wife, I see that I need to get out of the house extra early in the morning because I've got some meetings that are going to be starting real early, so I need to get in and prepare. But other than that, it's atypical, first of the year, staying busy. I hope that everyone had a wonderful weekend. It was one that I had essentially pretty much disconnected from the internet. I took some time off and was able to actually stay away from the PC, which was good. Did do a little work on Sunday evening, but for the most part, was able to disconnect. Hey, I want to thank all of you that went over to Podcast Alley and voted, and also those of you that filled out comments on iTunes and Yahoo. That was greatly appreciated. I do, again, thank you so much for that. That really helps out. Tonight, I was talking with a good friend of mine on Skype, and he mentioned that he had heard that there's possibly another podcasting network that's getting ready to launch. And of course, you know, it seems like they're springing up like weeds right now with so many people rushing to get solutions in place for podcasters. It's nothing that I'm doing, but some other people are obviously working real hard. You know, we've got some stuff cooking too that we're going to be releasing in the near future, but I'm not ready to talk about that. But I am wondering if anyone else has heard of an additional network that's going to be launched that's not associated with me. If you hear anything on that, let me know. Drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. One thing I've been real happy with is the number of shows that are actually being produced now over at podcasternews.com. We added our 70th show on Sunday evening. Not all 70 are producing. I think about 50 of the shows are actually producing podcasts. The other 20 will be get started here, hopefully within the next week or so. I have a personal goal of hitting 100 shows on the network by the end of February. And those of you that are podcasters out there, you can help. We've got what we're calling a podcast promo promotion. So if you're a podcaster and you're willing to play our promo, what we're going to do is every time you play a promo on your podcast, if you send me an email at ceo@rawvoice.com, tell me the URL of your MP3 file and the time hack that you played the promo on, I'll add your name to the hat, and we're going to give away $100 to one podcast that plays the promo for PCN. We're also going to give away up to five promos that we're going to actually play of your shows on PCN across the 70-some shows on the network. So we're putting that out there as an incentive for podcasters to play the promo. You can find the information over at rawvoice.com. Now, how many of you watched the Super Bowl this weekend? I actually watched about two quarters of it, I guess. And that's probably the first football I've watched in a year. Matter of fact, my wife was saying, didn't you watch the Super Bowl with your dad at my brother-in-law's house last year? I'm like, yeah, I think so. So it was pretty strange, but good game. And of course, GoDaddy had their advertisement on there. Now that the game is over, GoDaddy has domain names as low as $1.99. Plus, as a post-game special, enter the code Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y, when you check out and save $10 on any order of $50 or more. Hurry, this offer expires February 28th, 2006. Thanks for GoDaddy for being sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. All right, I've got a good lineup of news and information for you tonight. Tonight's been kind of a strange night, though. I don't know what it is. I'm actually getting started a decent time, but I started doing my show prep, and I had to run out and take care of something for a while, and I came back, and it's like I've been in and out of the office like four or five times ever since, and I normally sit down and go through the whole process without actually getting up, but gosh, I don't know. It feels tonight like it's been a number of start and stops, and actually, you know, the podcast is getting starting recorded here on a normal basis, so I don't know what my problem is, but that's life, I guess. Okay, I found a cool article that was written by Doc Searles on Linux Journal, and this is a discussion about a service called FON, F-O-N. I hope I pronounced that right. It sounds like it's correct. But FON has been around a while, which, you know, actually it's only been around about 3 months. But it's a Spain-based brainchild of a gentleman by the name of Martin Varvosky, I believe. And it's a global community of people who share Wi-Fi connections. Well, you know, it's always, you know, in the neighborhood here, my neighborhood, there's four, I think I told you before, I think I found like seven Wi-Fi spots and two or three of them were open. But this FON network designed so that that people share their Wi-Fi connections, businesses, individuals, and the whole process that they're using is about ready to get a lot bigger because Sequoia Capital, who invested, I believe, in Podshow, has just invested $21.7 million in the company. And along with, I believe, Google and Skype also did also. But here's basically how FON works. And I'm going to paraphrase off of Doc Searles' article. And really, this is a very innovative idea. What you do is if you have a Linksys router, one of the routers, they have a listing of routers that are compatible for the software that you would be downloading from the FON website. You download the software, you install it on the router, and this allows you to essentially become a hotspot. And it enables you to set up a password and login so that you can run the software or run the router essentially as an open connection point. And so those that you choose to give access to it, you can. Now, they believe that they're going to be able to build this into a bigger network of a community. So let's say all of my neighbors, we get together and we say, yeah, let's pool our bandwidth. And we'll basically set up all these load FON onto the Linksys routers. And then it'll enable us to multiplex our connection. It'll allow us to share it with one another or friends. So it goes way, way beyond that. It's a pretty big deal. Of course, the telcos and the cable companies don't like this because we're essentially sharing our broadband access. But from the bottom up, we can have a global network usable for free by those who choose to share access. And of course, and you also can set it up as an affordable fee by others also. So if you actually want to become a paid hotspot, this FON software allows you to do that as well. So I think this is a great, great way to you know, open up access to those that you trust, and while at the same time having enough security where you keep the bad guys out, and great for businesses and that kind of stuff. So check out the link on Linux Journal, this again by Doc Searles, about FON, give you some more information. And if you have one of these Linux Wi-Fis, it's actually the WRT54G, the GS and the GL versions 1 to 4 are compatible. And essentially what there is are running Linux inside. But you also can buy one via the FON store online also. And it's typically they're only available, I think, in Europe. But the FON store delivers to Europe, obviously, but you can find these routers any place. So you check that out. Okay, Wired News has a good article on the vaporware winners of 2005. And it's got a pretty cool little list of, you know, a lot of companies come out with product announcements early in the year. and they say, hey, this is, we're going to be launching this in the second quarter of 2005. And that makes it becomes third quarter, fourth quarter. And then it doesn't deliver. And then it says it will ship sometime in 2006. Well, Wired has a great article, a great listing of the top 10 vaporware applications. One of them is the high definition TiVo or TiVo to go for Mac. Obviously that never happened. And just it goes on and it gives all these kind of cool listings. And I think you guys will get a kick out of it. All right. I found I actually posted an article on my website about this today, a little bit talking about how universities are hooking up with Apple for what's called iTunes U. And if you haven't heard about this already, what it is essentially universities have signed a media agreement with Apple that they're going to put behind their firewall and through authentication processes to only allow students access to some of these audio programs that professors are going to be putting up. So I guess the point I had with this whole situation of what's going on with iTunes U is essentially you've got universities that are now are buying into or locking people into the Apple iPod. So let's say your kid goes to a major university. He doesn't have an Apple iPod, but he has another competitor's product, another MP3 product, and he wants to utilize some of these services that the university has made an agreement with Apple with for the iTunes U program. Well, guess what? He's out of luck. He's not going to be able to download this stuff because of the lock-in with iTunes. So my situation or my comment was there's applications or there are turnkey podcasting solutions out there right now that universities can put together either on their own or have someone else host for them that can be secure and behind a firewall that will not lock students into a specific device. And I think that this is bad juju for colleges to get into this. Now, someone had posted on my website a comment that basically said, hey, this is great. I've got copyrighted material that I have. I'm allowed to use in the teaching setting. I'm allowed to redistribute on a limited controlled basis. iTunes use gives me the security being able to do that. Well, hello, security is not a big deal in today's computing world. You give people access via a login, a password, whether accounts expire, what they have access to, specific things. You can do it on a class-by-class basis. This does not take rocket scientists, but to lock into Apple with this and this iTunes U, I think is wrong for a public institution to do because they are essentially saying they're endorsing the Apple product completely. And at the same time, those that are using other products are going to be locked out. So keep an eye on your local university, and if they are going to be participating in this iTunes U, and you have kids are getting ready to go to school, you need to speak up and say, this is wrong. Don't do that. Give my kids equal access to the material. And I'm not saying, I'm sure most of these young adults have an MP3 player. Now, whether it be an iPod or another player is regardless, they shouldn't, again, you guys get my point. Don't lock them in. All right, there's a good article in Information Week about how the police force of Los Angeles is using technology to essentially curb these car chases. So the LA Police Department is now fighting car chases with GPS devices, and they're outfitting the vehicles with it's a tagging device. What they do is say, if they've got a car that's running from them, they can get close enough to a car, I guess, and this device, they can launch it off the vehicle and it will embed onto the fleeing vehicle's car, and it has an embedded GPS unit, which automatically goes up to a satellite and then down into the police headquarters and brings up on a grid with only about a 2 or 3 second delay. And so what's amazing about this is the police have been able to employ this where they're going to be able to just launch this. It embeds in a vehicle. They back off. They let the GPS device do its thing. They track the people. They follow at a safe, non-high rate of speed distance. Hopefully people don't get killed in car accidents from these chases. And they're still able to, they may have can vector in helicopters or other resources or other police cars that are in the area to catch criminals. Now, each of these devices is capable of launching two of these tags or these devices. I guess what it's going to do is it sounds like it's going to pierce the skin of the car to be able to attach. It's got some sort of a little bit of a spear. So interesting to see what happens here. We'll keep an eye on it. It's technology being used by the LAPD. And I'm sure we're going to see more of this kind of cool stuff coming to our local law enforcement. All right, over on a website called Critical Section, and the domain is just too complicated to even read it off, but this is something I didn't realize was available. NASA recently, you guys hear my chair cracking? I'm sorry, I'm swiveling in it. NASA has recently published a high-resolution topographic map of the Earth created from satellite photographs. And what's remarkable about it is in its detail, it's not so much remarkable in its detail, but what's remarkable is it's 2.9 gigs in size. It's the resolution on it is 86,400 by 43,200 pixels, and it's being distributed via BitTorrent. So if you want to check this out, link will be in the show notes, and you guys can hook up and download it. Looks like a pretty awesome topographical map. I'd like to print this bad boy out and put it on a wall. What does that pixel size turn into inches? I'm going to have to run some math and figure what that is. But can you imagine doing a wall mural of this picture? It definitely would be a conversation piece, wouldn't it? Of course, the price again if printed might be a conversation piece too. All right, those of you that are tech workers out there, I'm sure you're always worried about the bottom line, how much you're making on a yearly basis. And according to Extreme Tech, they're saying that the average wages for technology sector is up 3.1% this year for an average of $30.27 per hour, which was paid to technology workers between October 10th, 2005 and October 10th, 2005, and November 6, 2005. And since the fourth quarter of 2001, wages for high-impact technology professionals have risen nearly 11%. When you think about that, 5 years, 11%, that's not that huge of an increase. It's okay, but not that huge. But anyway, here's the top jobs that were the top 10 jobs with the highest demand by employers for the fourth quarter of 2005. Clinical research associates, 3852. Data managers, 4506. CRM project manager, 6201. Data warehouse architect. Now, this is the job you got to be in. $69.03 an hour. Now, how many of you have messed around with SAP? If you are a SAP functional consultant, you can get $75 an hour. And I understand to that SAP, is, oh my goodness, that is a complicated beast. Unfortunately, I've had the pleasure of having to deal with SAP before. I can understand why those guys are getting paid $75 an hour. Oracle database administrators, $55.82. .NET developers, $45.77. Hardware firmware engineer, $59.34. Now, you want to hear something shocking? I put a job placement out on Zen.org, and Zen.org is a website that is heavily trafficked by PHP programmers. So I put the wanted job out, and we received nearly 100 replies on that job offer. 94% of those replies were from overseas. I had five or six applications that came in from Americans or American Canadians, but the majority of the stuff was overseas, predominantly India, and then there was some Russian-Ukraine type of applications too. And what shocked me to the core, and I kind of knew this already based upon some stuff that I've already been doing, but I was shocked to the core that there were people that were basically saying, hey, I'll work or do PHP programming for you for $2 to $5 an hour. Now, I know that's going to make some of you mad because you think about the cost, and I know what it costs to hire a programmer in the United States, because last year I had podcastawards.com built by a good friend of mine that developed the site. And I paid him flat rate per hour. And I think I paid him, actually, I think he gave me a cut rate. I think I paid $55 an hour to have that site designed. So you look at the cost of 50, to compare that from 55 to $2 to $5, it's no wonder that companies are exporting sites overseas. And you should have seen the list of sites that were, these guys were given these references of sites that they've built. And I mean, mainstream sites, I was totally shocked. I would have thought they would have had an in-house development team. And it turns out mainstream sites that you would be very familiar with have been written very much overseas. And so what do we do, folks? What do we do to mitigate that? What do we do to keep jobs here at home? You know, I'll be the first to admit I hired somebody from overseas to do the site redesign at techpodcast.com just because, you know, I'm a limited budget. So, you know, what do you do? You know, compared to the work we wanted to have done, you know, if I'd had, I'll give an example. I think the total bill, without going into too much close details, I'll give you an example. What would have cost me $10,000 to do in the United States cost me about $2,000 to do overseas. So that gives you an idea in the difference, you know, the real difference. And when you're trying to make spread your dollar farther as a small business person, you know, how can you really blame someone for taking that work overseas? Now, obviously, if I ever got to the point where we could hire somebody, we would, on a permanent basis, we would want to hire someone. You know, it just makes more sense to have someone in the office with you. But golly, from $2 to $5 versus $55 or $60 an hour, it's just amazing. And it's not going to get any better, folks. You know, what do we do? Send your comments on what we should do to mitigate some of this. geeknews@gmail.com, or send your comments, how heated as they may be, to 619-342-7365. Okay, Engadget has an article on a Trio. It's Trio 650 that is running Linux. And believe it or not, it's up and running, and they've got utilities going. Now, I don't know if I'd want to load Linux on a Trio or not, but they've loaded GPE Linux. It's up and running well, and they've got a bunch of screenshots for it. So if you want to check that out, please do so. And I think that, you know, just sign of the times. People want their operating system that they want on their devices. Okay, here's from the Dumber and Dumber compartment. A ice cream man has been convicted of selling pirated copies of pirated DVDs to kids. Now check this out. This guy's driving around in an ice cream truck that your kids are running out and buying ice cream from, and he's selling pirated DVDs, CDs, PlayStation, Xbox, and PC games out of his back of his ice cream truck. He was caught with how many discs did he have? The dude got busted and fessed up to selling a whole bunch of stuff. What did he have? He had 4,000 pirated discs. So he's obviously going to go to the big house. But next time the ice cream truck comes around and your kids come in the room with a DVD instead of an ice cream cone, you may want to check that out, okay? All right, how many of you are diehard on your cell phones and you don't like to get rid of them? You want to make sure that you get every last cent out of them. You've got one that you've used for 2 or 3 years. Well, there may be life for your older cell phone in that you can teach an old dog new tricks by downloading some cool applications into it. You know, if your phone does Java, you've got all kinds of cool things that you can load, like a mini opera. There are a variety of Java applications out there that you can get for your phone, and they're basically going to save you some money, and you can get some more features out of that phone before you recycle it, okay? And this is over on O'Malik's blog. Of course, he always comes up with some great stuff. Okay, Steve Gilmore has an article up, said, "The dog told me," and I guess the thing I want to talk about this is it reminded me to tell you about my experience with my Sprint EVDO card. As you know, I have a Sprint EDVO card because Verizon does not have EVDO service here in Hawaii yet. And I had pretty much complained to Sprint saying, you guys had publicized that you were going to have all of these 3G EVDO areas opened up. Well, I actually got a chance to talk to one of the Sprint reps here in Hawaii. He talked to me a little bit about their rollout phase, and I was pretty happy because one of the areas that I'm in a lot, the EVDO, 3G EVDO was turned on. And so I'm a pretty happy camper right now. But for those of you that are thinking about getting an EVDO card, really use the 15-day trial period that they give you to check the areas that you are going to be using that device in the most to make sure you can get enough bang for the buck. Because the coverage throughout the United States is still very, very limited. If you have to be in a major metropolitan area to get really good utilization out of those EVDO cards. But Steve seems to think that EVDO is going to change the landscape completely in that it's going to make some applications from the office package dead just because of the way we're going to be able to use different applications now that we have high speed at all times. Now, I wouldn't call it broadband. It's near broadband. I think the speed I get is like 700 down with about 50 up on the service I have here in Hawaii, which is pretty good. But anyway, he's got some info here on attention too, and talks about some of the applications that he trusts and he don't trust with your personal information. I think that this is an article that you're going to want to read from top to bottom. Robert Scoble actually commented on it, saying that he thinks Steve is wrong and that EVDO is not going to kill some Microsoft applications, specifically Office. But Steve has got pretty good insight here, and this is about a 3 or 4 page. He took some time on this one, so check it out. It's Steve Gilmore's InfoRouter. Of course, Steve Gilmore does the Gilmore Gang and the Gilmore Daily. He's a pod show podcaster and, of course, writer for Ziff Davis. Hey, here, how many of you have Photoshop or a Mac equivalent? How many of you have thought that from that you would never be able to edit a photo online? Well, Ajax is making it possible for you to edit images on a web page. Now, I have found a totally cool application. It's called PXN8. And the way it's pronounced, it's Pixinate. Pixinate. But it's at pxn8.com. And it's available to purchase and install on your own server. Or you can play with it right here online. Way, way, way awesome. For those of you that have blogs, that do a lot of photo blogs, and you want to be able to touch stuff up on the fly, this may be an application for you. Now, I haven't seen how much it costs yet, but it's cool. You can go ahead and I'll have the link up in the show notes. You guys go try this thing, and I think you'll be very surprised. And what's even really cool is it's integrated into Flickr, where you can edit the photo and just push a button, boom, and it goes to Flickr. Kind of cool, yeah? All right, those of you that are using iTunes version 6.0.2, did you realize that you can import and export OPML list, which makes it perfect for going out and getting the going over to podcasternews.com, clicking on feeds. We've got 3 different OPML subscription lists over there. You can subscribe to the entire network without having to go through and click, 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 and find all the shows in the horrendous iTunes library. So if you want to import, or if you've been using iPod 11 and you want to switch to, not iPod, they call it Juice now. If you want to, if you're using Juice or another podcatcher application, and you want to switch to iTunes, you can import, or in my opinion is you should be exporting your OPML out of iTunes into Juice or another type of application. Based upon what I've been keep getting comments back from people is if you're using iTunes, you may not be listening to this show because iTunes keeps losing shows or keeps dropping the downloads or something. But anyway, here's instructions on how to import and export with iTunes. All right, Smart Mobs has a link to an article by Hitachi. Hitachi's saying that they have developed the world's smallest and thinnest microchip that can be embedded in a piece of paper. This thing is 0.15 millimeters by 0.15 millimeters, and it's only 7.5 micrometers thick. Folks, that is like a speck of dust. And it obviously doesn't have a battery, but it's powered by electrical waves, and they feel that this is going to be a new way to track documents, parcels. They're going to be able to embed this right into a document. So it'll be a way for doing document control now. So pretty scary stuff. You get handed a piece of paper, and as you're walking out the office, you get scanned on what you're carrying out the door. Good for firms that want to control security. You want to control documents within the company. Of course, you know, if they're so worried about that, why are they using paper? That's the question. How many of you actually know the history of Firefox? There's a real good article on the Inside Firefox blog that tells the story of Mozilla and the integration of how Firefox came into being. And I read through this today and I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. So it's kind of some behind the scenes history on how Firefox was developed. So any of you that are using Firefox, you may want to check that out. All right, David Siffre has released State of the Blogosphere for February 2006. It's part one of a multi-part series that he releases every quarter. And it's been obviously 4 months since he released one. But here are some facts on the growth of the blogosphere. Technorati is now tracking 27.2 million blogs. The blogosphere is doubling in size every 5.5 months. So that's just huge. It's now over 60 times larger than it was when I started blogging 3 years ago. On average, a new web blog is created every second of every day. 13.7 million bloggers are still posting 3 months after their blog is created. I'd like to see a long tail on that to see how many people are blogging after a year. I'd like to see how many people have been podcasting after a year. That'd be a good research project for someone. They're terming spam pings now as spings, and they're saying that the spings can sometimes account for as much as 60% of the total daily pings at Technorati. Sophisticated spam management tools now are eliminating the spings and find that about 9% of new blogs are spam or machine generated. So think about that. People are just automatically creating blogs, 9% of them being created to do nothing but steal money from AdSense ads and to take try to steal your content and put it up on those sites. Shocking. Technorati is tracking 1.2 million new blog posts each day, about 50,000 per hour, and over 81 million posts have been posted with tags since January of 2005, increasing by 400,000 per day. The Blog Finder service now has 850,000 blogs and over 2,500 popular categories that have attracted a critical mass of topical bloggers. And if you guys look at the bottom of most of my posts at Geek News Central, you'll see where it'll say, like today's show, say podcast, GoDaddy. It'll have two or three tags on there. That's how I tag the shows. And if you go over to Technorati and search for those tags, that's what I expect you to find the show from, or expect people that are doing Technorati searches. And I'll tag articles that I write with two or three different tags so that it helps better categorize them within the search engine. So that's what he's talking about there. But good info from David. So I'm glad to see he keeps producing this, and it's nice to see that the blogosphere is still on the grow. How many of you have a PayPal account? Well, are you guys ready to see Google jump into space? It appears that Google is building its own internet payment service. And this was rumored earlier in the year, actually in earlier 2005. But right now, it looks like this is definitely going to happen. I wrote an article about it. It's going to be called GBuy. It's going to be available to, they're going to have, of course, it's going to use all of Google's reach to be able to put this GBuy icon on almost every website that you probably search and look through. But it'll be a new way to pay for stuff. Personally, I'm looking forward to seeing PayPal have a little competition out there in the space, and hopefully the Google folks will be able to improve the accounting features that are provided, because I'm real not, PayPal will give you this, it doesn't give you a great report, but I think that if Google's smart, they'll make it so it's exportable into most of the regular accounting packages. Now, a buzzword of 2005 that you couldn't go to a conference, you couldn't go to a meeting without someone saying, talking about the long tail. Now, the long tail, and if those of you that don't know what the long tail is, I'll give you a real world example. When the Tech Podcast Network does its live roundtable, we have approximately 50 people that attend the live events. But after we get done, we post-production those, get all that data put together, put the show notes together, then post it up on the website. Then over the next month, nearly 10,000 people will access that live roundtable via an audio download or the audio and video portion. So the long tail of the roundtable is we know that we don't get the most bang for the buck on the initial meeting, but we know over the next 30 days, 10,000 people download those programs. So the long tail is do the programs, and in the out time, you'll get the great exposure. A lot of the people that participate in the roundtable would say, oh, there was only 32 people that were there. I'm like, well, yeah, but within the next 2 or 3 weeks, the thing's going to get downloaded 10,000 times. So that's the long tail. Okay, so the gentleman that's writing a book on the long tail, he is finishing his manuscript. And we're looking, of course, I'm really looking forward to this book coming out. But he's got a pretty good article out today talking about Death of the Blockbuster Part 4. And if you remember, I wrote something on my blog about going to the movies and the cost of how much it takes to get the family there. And you all experiencing that when you go to the movies. But he's got some good research information on here on it's showing how the drop-off is starting to take a place for box office attendance going down, indexed to total population, and how revenues have peaked and are starting to drop off also in comparison to the number of hit movies, et cetera. So obviously more of us are using, I saw on the Super Bowl, I did see that the folks at Blockbuster are actually going to be launching a service that's going to be similar to a Netflix, where you're going to be able to get some DVDs delivered every month. You'll be able to get one free in-store. I guess that's going to be their pitch, is you'll be able to still get a free DVD out of the store by subscribing to this service. So, you know, Netflix and Blockbuster are actually dialed in on this. Blockbuster was late to the party. And I love Netflix. It works great. So we're not going to the movies. We're getting our movies via, mail order, essentially. And so we'll see what happens. I think we're going to see a big change in cinema over the next 5 years. There's a technology article in the New York Times. And again, I'll link to this, but again, it'll go behind their firewall within a couple of days. But there was an announcement by IBM researchers where they have reported this week that they have used standard chip making materials to develop a high-speed wireless technology that could do away with the bulky cables that now connect electronic devices in the living room. And what I thought was amazing about this was, we all have clutters of cables, and we all know that there's with the frequency of RF, there's only so much you can do on transferring stuff without interfering with your neighbors, etc. But they are going to be using, this is technology that's going to be using the 60 gigahertz portion of the radio frequency spectrum. Folks, that is up there. Okay, that really, really is. That frequency spectrum is so high that it will not penetrate a wall. You could have a room, closed room, and transmit this signal, and it won't get through the walls of the room. That's how high the frequency is, okay? And this is amazing. So in its available portion, there's nothing else up there. And they're saying that this could truly revolutionize. They think that this technology will be able to allow people to do HDTV streaming wirelessly. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if the IBM can bring this to product. And if they do, this is gonna revolutionize it's going to revolutionize how houses are wired. It really, really will. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. All right, you've heard me talk about botnets before. There's a good article over on WXPnews.com talking about beware of the botnets. If those of you that are not familiar with what a botnet is and how computers can, like yours, can get hijacked if you're not running a good firewall, or you get a piece of email that gets missed, or you click on something on a website that allows something to get installed. This is a great article that tells you about good and bad botnets. And it's got some follow-up information on how you need to really be aware of the interaction of these things and what they can actually do. So you check that out at WXP News. Link will be in the show notes. Okay, there's a guy that's getting ready to take off tomorrow morning. He is going to be flying a borrowed Virgin Atlantic Airways owned Global Flyer. It's going to be he's going to be doing a long distance flight. He's going to be taking off with just an ungodly amount of fuel. 22,000, actually, how much of it? All but 3,500 pounds of the Global Flyer's 22,066 pounds takeoff weight is going to be fuel. He's going to go all the way around the world, starting at Cape Canaveral. He's going to fly all the way around the world, past Cape Canaveral, and go all the way to London. So his goal is to not run out of gas before he gets across the Atlantic, but he's doing it alone. It's going to be a three-day trip. So he's going to get to sleep, though, for like 5 minutes during the flight. They have a five-minute timer that rings him or something and wakes him up. This guy has set some other long-distance records in 1998. He set a long-distance record in a balloon. He's done some other solo flights, so he's got all kinds of Guinness Book World Records, so it'll be interesting. He'll be in the air. I'm sure it'll be in the news. We'll keep you advised on the website at geeknewscentral.com. All right, Google's done the slapdown on BMW. Apparently, they were playing games with stuff that was going on with their websites. They were trying to game the search engine, and they gamed it to the fact that Google reduced their page rank to zero. Now, to tell you what that is a death blow to a website. The geeknewscentral.com's page rank averages between 6 and 7. It floats there every day. You know, during the morning, it'll be at 6. In the afternoon, it'll be at 7. And next morning, it'll be at 6. Now, I would love to have it be at 10. But obviously, that is very few websites acquire a 10 score for a page rank. And it also affects the amount of money you can make with ads and ads. But anyway, BMW has been given a page rank of 0. Essentially removing them from any of the top search results. So this is a good lesson. If any of you are out there are working with optimization of your websites to try to get in the top rankings within the Google PageRank, or actually within the Google search engine, you need to read this and not do what BMW did, because BMW has gotten slapped down hard. Okay, Google has merged Gmail with chat. And on Monday, they've launched a Gmail chat, which will allow users to send instant messages with one click from their email account. I haven't seen how this works yet, and I missed this today being out. I did see when I logged into Gmail today, there was a little Gmail chat icon that was on the login page, but I didn't take time to look at that. But apparently what happens is the application's quick contact list is synchronized with a user's Google Talk friends list, and automatically displays the people a user communicates with most frequently and shows their online status. And I guess you can store these chats to email or something to that effect. I know that there are some chats you don't want stored to email, do you? So I'm sure there's going to be some opt-out feature there. But I know that Yahoo offers something similar and also maybe AIM does too. But check this out. I'll be checking it out. Maybe I'll get a more detailed report on what exactly this thing does. Have you all seen Snagit? It's a pretty cool screen capture system, screen capture and sharing program. It's available at techsmith.com. I've played with this application before, and I tell you what, I really, really do like it. It is the Cadillac of screen captures that are out there. So if you guys want to check that out, techsmith.com, the product is called Snagit. All right, our good friend Robin Good has a good list of tools out this week. The new media picks of the week for pick 38 was released, and he's got some RSS applications on here. A couple of them are, let's see, the first one is whonu.com. It's a super search tool. It says it's like no other, so I'm going to have to check that out. Mailbigfile.com. Well, obviously, you know what you're going to be able to do with that. Feed43, which is a feed for free application that will allow you to create an RSS feed for any web page. Another thing called FeedTier is an automatic RSS feed generator for non-geeks. Here's a coolmagz.com. It's a public content clearinghouse where users are the editors and story writers. Yahoo Messenger translating proxy. I wasn't familiar this was available. Unfortunately, Yahoo does not have Japanese in the list of languages that it can translate, but they do have English to German, Spanish, French, Italian, Portuguese. So check this out. A couple other applications here. One's Audio Merge. There's also some Flickr applications too. So great list of stuff again by Robin Good at masternewmedia.org. I'm going to tell you folks, sometimes the strangest stuff gets on /dot. And I don't know if this was a joke or if this was a serious study that was done, but Dr. Peter Flynn, management engineer in the University of Alberta, Department of Mechanical Engineering, has developed what he would like to consider as a fallback plan to help combat the effect of global warming. I'm going to read this to you. Flynn proposes using more than 8,000 barges moving into the Northern Ocean in the fall, speeding the initial formation of sea ice by pumping a spray of water into the air, and then once the ice is formed, pumping ocean water on top of it, trapping the salt in the ice and reaching a thickness of 7 meters. In the spring, water could continue to be pumped over the ice to melt it, forming a vast amount of cold, salty water that sinks and adds to the downwelling current to re-strengthen it. Okay, 8,000 barges. All right, how much is that going to cost? All right, another article on Slashdot. For those of you that are system administrators with Linux across multiple systems, there's a good book out there that talks about Linux patch management and how to manage patching of multiple machines across the network. I think that this is probably a good book for those of us that are even operating one or two machines. Some good patching practices. So good article on that. So it may be one that you want to pick up. There's a article on news.com talking about, can DSL handle success? And this is based upon where Verizon is really being price aggressive on their DSL offering, where they're offering a DSL service at $14.95. And it talks about how people are like, wow, $14.95, yeah, I can move from dial-up to DSL. But what they're finding out is Verizon has oversold the DSL so severely that they've had to actually stop taking applications, and that the internet speeds have just been brought to a crawl because everyone in the neighborhood is competing for that same bandwidth, even though they say you have dedicated bandwidth, right? Well, that's not, that stuff comes to a head at some point. It really, really does. So they're being called to the carpet on overselling it and whether or not they can actually handle this success. Okay, remember that that comet that we smashed that spacecraft into? Well, the scientists are saying that they have detected ice on the surface of the comet, and it's the first time that this has actually been proven, in that they were actually able to pick this up from images just prior to the orbiter's impact. So lots of science coming out on that. Also, the ISS spacewalk completed. The space suit that they sent adrift failed a couple hours into its experiment. Now, I heard on the news today that ham radio operators are actually hearing this thing from time to time. Now, what's happened apparently is when the spacesuit is in orbit and it goes into when it goes into darkness, the suit cools down so much the batteries freeze. And then when it gets in the sunlight, it warms up enough that the batteries start working again. So it's kind of an on again, off again thing. But those that are out there running the ham radio operators are having a lot of fun with this. Hey, I do want to thank Kazo over at Kazo's OPML blog for giving a shout out to what we're doing at Tech Podcast and Podcaster News. Do appreciate that. And finally tonight, now this is kind of a funny one. You guys remember when the president went to the NSA for a photo op? He went into this nice, fancy room. They had red flashing lights and stuff like that. Well, it turns out that the web screen that they had up on the, of course, they're not going to have anything that we can't see, but they had a computer screen that was actually a volunteer run computer security portal that anyone can display through a web browser. So if you want to impress your friends, and you can go ahead and launch your own NSA global threat display, the same that was displayed with the present during his photo op, it's available via Boing Boing. All right, folks, I've got one promo I want to play for you here real quick. We've got some listener email, then we're going to blast out. So let me kick the promo up, and then we'll get into the listener email.
So you're a baseball fan, and every day you dig through newspapers, magazines, websites, and blogs to get your up-to-date information on your favorite team? Well, not anymore. Get all of your baseball news in just one place, the MLB Daily Dose, part of the Podcaster News Network. Join Matt McClain every day as he gives you updated news and notes from around the world of Major League Baseball, part of the Podcaster News Network. Join Matt McClain on the MLB Daily Dose, online at podcasternews.com.
Oh, yeah. Going to hear a lot more of those type of promos coming from me. We're going to be promoting from within from now on. But we'll still play your promo if you want us to play it. Geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Okay, I've got some listener email. The first one is from Kevin. He says, hi, I'm a new listener. And he says he wants to get down to business here. You know that you have podcasts for iPods and downloads of your show, which is true. People are downloading the show via their RSS feed with iTunes into their iPods or with their MP3 players. But he says here, but did you know that you can go onto a PSP and use the RSS channel feature to listen to your show? I didn't know that, but I did know that some people had been using that, but I didn't know what exact feature. I don't have a PSP myself. Hey, why don't you send me some screenshots of that, Kevin, if you can. I don't know, can you do screenshots with a PSP? I'm sure there's some tools out there. But anyway, he said, this is how I listen to your show because of no internet connection. You might want to tell your listeners about it. It's very cool. That is cool. You can catch a Wi-Fi hotspot and download stuff. So yeah, if you can get some pictures on that, let us know. Or send me a snapshot from a digital camera. That'd be cool too. Okay, also I got an email from Jonathan. He says, hi, Todd. I live in Montreal and have been listening to most of your podcasts in the last nine months. One quick question for you, though. I have a small personal website and I'd like to add a RSS feed to it. Is there a tool you would suggest me to use? My host is on Unix, but I run on a Win XP machine at home. I did research on Google, but I don't know what to use. Well, what I need to know, Jonathan, is I need to know, are you putting the site up manually, or are you actually using a blogging application now? Feed me a little more info, and then I can send you back some details on some great tools that are out there to actually use for your website. One of them that comes to mind is Feed for All. That's a pretty good tool. Maybe even find some Google tools over on the list that Robin Good posted today. But Feed for All is a great RSS application. I'll see if I can get a link for you to that in the show notes. Got an email from Richard. He says, a great show as always. Whatever you do, don't shorten the show. I find that the best podcasts content-wise are those between 30 and 80 minutes. Your always seems to fall in there. Shorter ones are too short on info unless they are targeting a single topic like your IE7 interview. Your content is always just enough info, just enough talk. Thanks. I do appreciate that, Richard. Don't worry. Obviously, with tonight's show, we're not going shorter. I got an email from Bree. Said, Todd, I finally got your podcast email message, so I guess I'm back in again. I also subscribe to your podcast on iTunes. Sometimes you're there, sometimes you're not. Today they dropped your show and the Mike Tech podcast show and dropped all save podcasts for you. They kept the Photoshop show and the Photoshop 2-minute trick notes. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with I don't know what's going on with iTunes. I really, really don't. Also, I got an email from Sam. He says, by far the easiest way to get ringtones on your phone, and this is in response to my ringtones discussion, is with Smash the Tones at, I'm going to put this link on the website, but it's mobile17.smashworld.com. But I'll put the link up in the show notes. He said, that's the best place to go get ringtones. Okay, folks, that's going to wrap it up for today. I do want to thank you for staying subscribed and being part of the family here. And as always, your comments are most welcome. You can send me a voicemail at 619-342-7365. Audio comments always get preferred played. Send email to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, you can always Skype me at Geek News Central. And you know, some of you have been taking me up on that and have been Skyping me and saying hello and sending me IMs. I do appreciate that. And answer when I can. Sometimes I can't. But we're at 54 minutes and 14 seconds. It's time to get out of here. We'll see you on Friday, folks. Aloha.
Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.